Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I want to talk about the subject matter breakthrough. There it is. There's the breakthrough. Technology again, working wonderfully. Got your Bibles? Open them. 2 Samuel. Aaron and Bez. God's the God of the breakthrough. Amen. Well, I love technology when it works. Don't say amen to that. All else fails, start from the beginning. Breakthrough. I've had another breakthrough. 2 Samuel chapter 5. If you want to kick off there tonight, very interesting passage of scripture. I really believe that the Lord's got us on a series, which will probably take several weeks to get through if you look at my sermon notes. The Lord of the breakthrough. The Philistines had threatened to take out God's people. Here in this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 5, David seeks the Lord. I love it when you read about David and when he seeks the Lord. He might have gone off track a few times. It's just amazing. I want to read it from the New Living Translation, because the Lord actually calls himself the Lord of the breakthrough. Did you know that? There's no breakthrough that can come other than what the Lord brings. Let me open it up here. It's all gone to sleep on me. Second Samuel chapter 5, Pastor Lou, not chapter 2. It won't work. That's what you get for trusting on technology, not bits of paper, you see. And it says, verse 17, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. Isn't it interesting that when an anointed man of God moves into position, the enemy will try and take them out? But David was told they were coming, so he went into the stronghold. The Philistines arrived and spread out across the valley of Rephaim. But David asked the Lord, should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? This is relationship. This is the Lord and King David working together, asking, seeking, advising. And the Lord replied to David. You see, when you've got a relationship with God, the Lord replies. I hope you get it by the end of tonight's message. Yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you. So David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. The Lord did it, David exclaimed. He burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So he named the place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. Or as the Amplified says, the master of breakthroughs. Don't you love that? That the Lord himself is the master of breakthroughs. So tonight, as we begin this series, breakthrough. New thinking for new results. How many know that works? Keep doing the same thing and repeatedly get the same results. Why do you keep doing it? The Lord's about to break through. So we're going to talk tonight about preparing for your breakthrough. There's nothing worse than building a house if you haven't prepared for it. Plans, approvals, engineers' reports, soil reports, council approval, foundations laid correctly, right materials for the right job. I've written this little quote in here. There are only two kinds of people: those who need a breakthrough now and those who will need one soon. Do you agree with that statement? Everyone's had their breakthroughs. Everyone's arrived. Everyone knows where they're headed. No, we've all got stuff we're waiting for. No one is exempt. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 45, "For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust." Friends, I want to say tonight that when we combine the promises of God's word with a passion to seek him in prayer, miracles happen. Heaven's amazing resources are released into your life when you've got a right relationship with God. Are you tired of living in the land of never enough, barely enough? Or are you ready to experience the land of more than enough? That's God's promise over you. To live in the land of his promise, the land of more than enough. So how do we begin that life of more than enough? How do we get that breakthrough in our lives? I believe it starts off with an attitude of gratitude. Amen? As you recognize, as you take hold of, as you grasp how much your Heavenly Father loves you. You spend a day just pondering that thought about how much your Heavenly Father loves you. And just really receive what that means. Be quiet. It's so important that we acknowledge that, and out of that flows this attitude of gratitude, a heart of thanks, deeper than just normal thanks, but a heart of gratitude towards God. You begin to realize what he did by sending his son Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing to set you free. He's already done so much for you. Every one of us is blessed immensely, immeasurably by God. That's why I wanted to have that song right before I preached. Blessed immensely and blessed immeasurably by God. If he only ever did one thing for you, it was to send his son. His son Jesus, who laid down his life for you. That was the beginning of the everything that began to flood into your life. So if Jesus then has laid down his life to redeem us from the law of sin and death, if Jesus has now given us a hope, a great hope of eternal life with him, wouldn't that have been enough? Do this. If you can't speak, do this. I want you to think tonight. It's quite often we take the Lord for granted and we don't realize what sending his son Jesus actually meant for us. So I come to Christ, I accept him as my Lord and Savior, and life goes on as it always was. Why would God do that? Amen? Jesus came to pay a debt he did not owe. Your sin. He took your place. He took your place. He took your place. He took my place on the cross. I was the sinner. You were the sinner. And he laid down his life. That was a death penalty over our life. He took it. Wow, God. That you would do that for me. He paid your price. He paid my price in full. Nothing outstanding. No reminder letter coming in the post. Not an overdue bill in the post. He's paid for your sin in full. Now, because of the power of sin in the world and the resulting curse it brings, this current world is impacted by pain, suffering, sickness, sorrow, addictions, poverty, and every form of death. Every form of death, whether that be loneliness, whether that be fear, whether that be insecurity, it's a form of death. These are things, friends, that God never intended for us to experience. Remember John 10:10? I've probably shared it with you a couple of times. The thief comes but to kill, to rob and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you would have and enjoy life in abundance to the full until it overflows. That's God's plan through his Son, Jesus. In Romans 8 and verse 32, Paul writes to the church and he says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I want you to think about the wording of that. Paul's message to the church in Rome, he who did not spare his own son, his one and only son. Can I say it that way? But God, it says, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you're writing down scripture, Romans 8 and verse 32, it's one of those powerful scriptures in the book of Romans, just powerful. You see, God has already given us his son. It's not on a promise. It's not on a word that if you come to me right now, my son Jesus will be responsible for your debt of sin. He's already sent his son. His son has already paid the price for you. Amen? So, what breakthrough do you need? Despite all the great work God has already done for us through Christ, you and I have various kinds of needs. It may be as simple as, I need money for fueling my car tomorrow. It may be as dynamic as, when I go and see the specialist, I'm dreading what he's going to say, but I'm trusting God for a miracle in my body. And it can be a whole range of different things. But to be quite honest and candid tonight, we are all broken people in one form or another. We haven't arrived at that fullness that Jesus laid down his life for. Amen? It's not a negative comment. It's not a non-faith statement. It's a reality in our lives. If every one of us tonight was already like Jesus, we wouldn't have to sit here discovering what God's word says about us. We would have already arrived. We would be out there laying hands on the sick and they would recover. We'd be going up and down the streets. People would be following us everywhere. We'd be able to multiply bread and fish into massive meals. We'd be able to go into Simplicity funerals and South Coast funerals and walk into their morgue, put our hands on the dead people. They'd come back to life. The houses would be full to overflowing. The churches would be full to overflowing. And we'd be able to say, Hallelujah, Jesus, when are you coming? Now that's an exaggerated thing, but the reality is all of us in this room tonight, all of us listening to this message are broken people and need a breakthrough somewhere. Amen? But the good news is that Jesus came to set us free from the penalty and the power of sin. The penalty, the curse, has been cancelled for those who embrace the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 13 says, Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? Having become a curse for us. Think of the depth of what Jesus did in obedience to the Father. You were cursed. I was cursed. mankind was cursed because of the sin that entered the world through Adam. We were doomed by that law of sin and death, the two going together, to be eternally separated from God. But Jesus came and he redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. The Bible says, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. I don't know what your brokenness may be today. I don't know what breakthrough you're crying out for as you hear this message tonight. But I know breakthrough can come as we study God's word and have revealed to us what God says about him being the God of the breakthrough. Mark 10 verse 27 says, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, some things are possible. All things, everyone say all things. All things are possible with God. Now, we can take that two ways. We can say, knowing God, God being the God that he is, he can do anything because he's God, so nothing's impossible. But I had the revelation that when we're with God, the impossible becomes possible for us also. So let me read that again in that different understanding. I'm not saying right or wrong. It says this, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, are you with God tonight? All things are possible. Through the power of prayer, you can transform your world. Through the power of prayer, you can overcome the problems that have plagued you for years. But you can also release God's miracles in the lives of your friends, of your family, of your loved ones. You can join with other believers in seeking revival in our church and into our community and through our nation. So let's be really honest tonight. In order to get your breakthrough, you have to add patience, and persistence. How many love patience? How many love sitting waiting for the kettle to boil, for the toaster to pop, for the hot water just to be right for your shower? You know, we're in a society where everything's got to be instant, if not sooner. Everything's got to be now. I want it my way and I want it now. Hungry Jack symbol for ages. But Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says this, the answer you seek, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Friends, it may take some time. You may have to battle for your breakthrough. And I'm going to talk about that in a couple of weeks' time. But listen to the examples that I've put down. Like the widow who continually petitioned the unjust judge. You might pray. You must pray for your breakthrough to come. Come here with me to Luke 18. We'll just have a quick look at that passage. Because again, the Gospels are just full of truths and full of revelation, and sometimes you miss a word or miss a line, and a word or a line can make a whole difference to your understanding of Scripture. So Luke chapter 18, I want to read verses 1 to 8, and I want to emphasize a couple of those Scriptures. And it says, also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. How often? Always to pray, and not to turn coward. The Amplified says, faint, lose heart, and give up. Coward. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced or feared God, nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. And for a time he would not. But later he said to himself. I love it when God gets on someone's case. He said it to himself. It's a bit like the prodigal son, isn't it? The Bible says he came to himself about what he was missing out on. Though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet, because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at least she can come and rail over me or assault me or strangle me, the Amplified says. That sounds like a woman, doesn't it? But I love verses 6 and 7 because Jesus brings it all together. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him sometimes when they feel like praying, when they get in a jam? It says, who cry to him day and night. Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? Verse 8, I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? Jacob, in Genesis 32, was prepared to wrestle with God all night until the blessing came. Friends, you and I will need to hang on to God's promises with steadfast faith. We will need to do that if we want a breakthrough to come. Even though you can only see scant evidence on the horizon, you must proclaim that your victory is at hand. Remember Elijah looking out across, waiting for the rain to come? No rain. You know, sometimes we're waiting for a breakthrough. It can be just like that. In the natural, no breakthrough. In the natural, no rain. In the natural, no supply. In the natural, no delivery. But just as we've said about this woman in Luke, in Elijah the prophet, and, you know, even Jacob wrestling with God, they hang on. Are you and I willing to stand and exhibit this time a determined, radical type faith and expect explosive results? See, a breakthrough to me is not just a trickle. A breakthrough just doesn't come because God wants to just put a minute blessing on you. I'm believing for breakthrough to be dynamic and, as I just said, explosive. No matter what you or your loved one or your family's facing today, can I encourage us all to obey God and to believe his promises as you pray? Find out what his promise is. Determine. My need is, let's say for example, healing. I find all the healing scriptures in the Bible. I set them all out in front of me. And I pray over those scriptures, believing that God's promise is true. It is yes, and it is amen, so be it. Amen? When you've done your part, stand in faith and don't give up. You know, you get those little annoying voices. You've been praying for 3 weeks. You've been fasting for 2 of those. Look at you. Listen to you. Look at the state you're in. Come on, get real. God's not going to do what he said he's going to do. And it just gets inside your head. It starts to get inside your heart. And we faint. We collapse. And we quit. But in Matthew 7, Jesus says, keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. I've discovered that there's 2 sides of every supernatural event. You want to know what the 2 sides are? It's pretty simple. There's the super and there's the natural. Super is what God does And natural is what we do. When the supernatural happens, when God's superability comes and encourages our natural ability, breakthrough comes. Amen? The super is something only God can do, and the natural is something He expects us to do. Again, just do this. You see, when we rely on God to do the everything, He can't. He wants us to play a part in the breakthrough. Amen? You look right through the Word of God, there's example after example after example. You know, we give God our seeds. What does He promise? A harvest. We give Him very little. He promises back very much. When we release our earthly treasures, God releases His heavenly treasures. Now, you've got to think, don't you? I know it's Sunday night. I know you're getting warmed up for your week, but I believe Sundays are good to warm you up for your week. Amen? God continues to demonstrate how He can take a common shepherd staff and infuse it with miracle-working power. What did He do with Moses? What have you got in your hand, Moses? A rod. Are you sure about that? Yeah. Watch me, says God. And turns it into a snake. Did He leave it as a snake? What's that, Moses? It's a snake. Watch me, says God. And turns it back into a rod. Who would have thought that a man of God could slay a thousand Philistines with the jawbone of an ass? Great weapon. Weapon of choice. M16 at least. God takes a boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and feeds thousands of people. You see, when we give Him our natural, He supplies us with His super. You want a breakthrough? Understand that you've got a part to play. Amen? So how do we receive a breakthrough of heaven's resources? Well, first of all, tonight we need to lay a foundation. We need to understand that the biggest breakthrough in all of human history was not the invention of the iPhone. Wasn't the battle between Microsoft and Apple. It's when God sent His only Son, Jesus. You see, for over 1,000 years, God had this condition that once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, and then into the temple. The Lord's radiant glory, can you picture this? The Lord's radiant glory was shielded from view by what? A veil, a curtain. A thick veil separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Historians say that this veil was 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and 4 inches thick. Honey, it's your turn to get down the curtains and give them a dust. Honey, I haven't got a team of horses big enough. You think of it. It was so strong, so well made, that it contained the glory of God and actually protected man from the glory being released into man. Yet in Mark 15, verses 37 and 38, something amazing happens when Jesus dies on the cross. Do you remember what it was? The Bible says that Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed His last. Verse 38 of Mark 15 says, "Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom." Only God Himself would be able to tear that curtain from the top to the bottom. You talk about breakthrough. Jesus is on that cross, he breathes his last breath and dies, and God said, I've had enough of living like this, and tears open that curtain. You realize how significant that was? That God's love for you tore that curtain apart, and God's love broke through to planet Earth. After all, wasn't it God's love that motivated him to send his son Jesus? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Come with me to Romans 5 and verse 8. This is where Paul writes to the church and explains to us even today this thing of God's love, so powerful, so amazing. And we will talk about breakthroughs. I tell you, if you've got a breakthrough in your life that matches even close to this, you're asking for a big breakthrough. God's love broke through into mankind. Romans 5 and verse 8. This is, but God shows us and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. At Jesus' birth and again at the cross, God's love broke through to us and for us. And Jesus' resurrection 3 days after his death proved that he is alive forever as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our Advocate. But then, notice the power released when God's love ripped the temple veil in two. Just so lost humanity could come to him unimpeded. Imagine little boys wondering about that veil. Perhaps seeing the awe of its size. Perhaps even seeing, if you knock on it, whether it moves or not. 4 inches thick is a thick veil. God sends his son, and as his son dies, the veil splits. And God's glory begins to permeate mankind again. What a dramatic statement that his love would no longer remain behind any veils, behind any rituals or religious things. And I want us to just take a moment to think about that amazing breakthrough. Allow it to sink in, if you like. Nothing today is hindering you from boldly entering God's throne of grace to receive what you need from him today. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. You and I can draw near to him and receive whatever heavenly resources you need for a life of victory. It's more than just available. It's there to take and receive. Breakthrough. Breakthrough to him. I think this is going to be an important foundation that we add as we work our way through this series. What is your role in this breakthrough exchange? Are you waiting for God to do all the breaking through? Sometimes we've got a breakthrough to him. God's already broken down, removed every obstacle that would stop you from entering into his grace, into his mercy, into his provision. Yet in order to get your breakthrough, you may need to break through some daunting circumstances as well. God has already broken through to you through Jesus the Christ. And I believe for the breakthrough to come, you've got to break through to him. Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 2. Great illustration. of breaking through to God. Book of Mark, chapter 2. It says, "And Jesus, having returned to Capernaum, after some days it was rumored about that he was in the house." I love the King James Version. It says, "And it was noised that he was in the house." I like that statement. It was noised. Imagine living in Capernaum. The word gets out on the street that Jesus is in the house, probably Peter's house. And it says, "And so many people gathered together there that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he," Jesus, "was discussing the word." So there's this house in little old Capernaum, packed to the door sills with people. As Jesus begins to expound the word, four men arrive late to the meeting. There's only two late ones then, but four arrive late to the meeting, and they bring with them their paralyzed friend. They're carrying him on a mat. He's truly paralyzed. But a problem arises. It's an unsurmountable problem. It's immeasurable. The crowd is already so thick, they can't get their paralyzed friend to Jesus. Most people give up at that point. They've done their best. At least they brought him to the meeting. They possibly have already carried the man quite a distance. But these men aren't quitters. They devise a very creative solution. The Bible says they climb onto the rooftop and dig a hole through the roof just above where Jesus is sharing the word. How do you determine that? Let's try here. Oops, that didn't work. Let's try over here. Oops, that didn't work. Oh, we better do it here. I don't know how they did it. Too much detail, doesn't matter. They find a way to lower this man on his mat right in front of the Lord. These guys aren't quitters. I want you to think about the crowd now. They're listening to Jesus preaching the word. They're probably agitated. They're probably annoyed that somebody would even try and dig through the roof, far less lower their mate on a mat right in front of Jesus. How dare they? Haven't we been running a church service here? They've got no respect for the Lord. Whoever owns the house wouldn't be happy either, and if it's Peter, man, oh man, watch out for the little knife. But I love verse 5 of this passage. And it says, "And when Jesus saw their faith," what did he do? He saw their faith. The Amplified says their confidence in God through him, through Jesus. We often talk about faith as if it's some kind of nebula, some kind of intangible force, some unrecognizable thing that just floats around Christians. This story illustrates to me that faith is something you can see. And I make this statement tonight that when we take a step of faith and obedience, the Lord always notices and sees our faith. Consider your life today. Do you have that kind of dynamic, active, obedient faith like these four men displayed? Is your faith audacious enough to dig a hole in someone's roof in order to bring a friend to Jesus? I'll open the front door for you if you come into my place. If all else fails, you can come around the back. If you're really desperate, we'll let you in the laundry door. Don't dig through our roof. But because of these men's faith and their willingness to dig past every obstacle in their way, their friend's life is radically transformed. First, Jesus forgives his sins. Then he tells the paralyzed man to stand up, pick up your mat, go home. Verse 11. But again, I love verse 12 in that passage because it shows the amazement of people and the breakthrough. And it says in verse 12, and he, the paralyzed man, arose at once. How long? At once. He did it immediately. Picked up the sleeping mat and went out before them all. So they were all amazed. How many were amazed? All amazed. And recognized and praised and thanked Peter for opening up his house. No, they didn't. They praised God. They recognized and thanked God. The Bible says, and saying, we have never seen anything like this before. They did an amazing thing. They saw an amazing result. Took a bold step. Jesus, the Lord of the breakthrough. Are you ready for your breakthrough? Most of us need a breakthrough in one form or another. The paralyzed man needs a physical healing. You may know someone that needs a physical healing. They may need a miracle. You may know someone who needs God to intervene in their marriage situation, their children, their emotions, their finances. I'm sure you and I would know someone that needs to be brought to the feet of Jesus in order for them to receive the life-changing salvation of the Lord Himself. Whatever that need may be, can I encourage us all to pause and ask God for His instructions today? Is there a friend that needs your help? Is there a roof that you need to dig through? Is there a seed you need to sow? You see, friends, in order to unleash the resources and blessing of heavens, we need to respond to the breakthrough of God's love for us through Christ. Love sent Jesus from heaven to earth and then to the agony of the cross. He broke through the temple veil and every barrier that it represented. You and I have a responsibility to respond to His love by passionately breaking through every barrier that keeps us on the outer limits of His grace. Revelation's an interesting book of the Bible, and as I was reading through it the other day again, when he writes to the church or writes about the church or tells John about the church in Ephesus, it says that the church in Ephesus drifted away from him and left their first love. Jesus has done so much to break through human sinfulness, pride, apathy. How can we become so distracted like the church in Ephesus? How can we can't become so distracted by religion and religious activities and the cares of this world that we lose out on our intimacy with Him? Later in Revelation 3, verses 14 to 22, we see Jesus knocking on the door of the church at Laodicea. He's no longer ripping a curtain. He's no longer breaking through closed doors. Instead, the Bible says He knocks. He waits. He speaks tenderly, inviting us to hear His loving words and open the door to Him. Friends, I pray that His awesome love will break through to you, not tomorrow, but today. I pray that His love penetrates every barrier and every obstacle in your life. I pray that you will hear His loving invitation and open up your heart wide to Him. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, wants to come and dine with you. And he wants to walk you into your breakthrough. He wants to walk with you into your breakthrough. Can we pray?